My husband and I were surprised and overjoyed whenever we found out that we were pregnant with our daughter Claire, only 9 months after having our first daughter. So it was a surprise, but it was such a happy surprise. And then at the 20-week ultrasound scan, things took a turn, and it ended up being probably the wildest roller coaster ride of my life. The most emotional for sure, and also where I feel like I learned so much, not only about myself and about life, but about God, and just it was a time of just extreme growth all around. And so I could tell story after story after story after story about that specific time because I feel like God revealed himself so much to me, or perhaps I just started to really pay attention. But today, I'm just going to give you a small piece of that story and one of the big lessons that I learned. So at that 20-week scan, they had trouble finding all four chambers of the heart. And we went to, of course, specialists and things like that and found out that indeed my daughter Claire only had half of a heart. She had a hypoplastic right heart, which meant that half of her heart, the right side, was not developed. If you're anything like me at the time, I didn't even know that this was something that could happen, nor did I know that there are a lot of people that live with a hypoplastic right heart or a hypoplastic left heart. There are actually surgeries that can be done to make it so that the heart functions in a way that it creates kind of a workaround. It doesn't necessarily fix the problem, but it kind of redirects things so that the heart can be functional. And so that's what we planned to do. We had planned and we saw specialist after specialist after specialist, tons of doctors in the time leading up to her actual birth. About planning for these surgeries and planning for her care. This all came as a very big shock to us because neither one of us had any heart issues or any issues at all health-wise on either side of our family. So this kind of came out of nowhere in a way. Every week I had multiple appointments with maternal fetal medicine specialists or cardiologists, cardiothoracic surgeons, sometimes genetic specialists, just all kinds of different specialists. Every week I had different appointments. And one thing that I learned very early on about the whole situation and really life in general is that you have to be your own advocate and you also have to be the advocate for your child. Sometimes this requires having difficult conversations. Sometimes it requires speaking up whenever, you know, you really don't want to, you're afraid of being embarrassed or called out or something like that. But I recognize that throughout all these different appointments, the only person, or I guess technically people that were there at all of these different appointments were me and Claire. All the other doctors and professionals, they had maybe some things, you know, written here or there in notes, in medical records that they may or may not have access to or have with them. And so I started to notice like occasionally there would be a discrepancy or there would be something that wasn't quite right or that was wrong or they were making an assumption that didn't actually happen or, you know, I was being told information that had been completely debunked by tests that were already run, that kind of thing. And so I recognized that here I am the only person other than Claire, but I'm the only person here that can really advocate for us that is in every appointment. And so I have to be responsible for this. I have to take responsibility. The other day I heard that, I never heard responsibility talked about like this before, but it's that responsibility is our ability to respond. Like that is what responsibility is. I was like, oh, brilliant, like duh. So I recognize that if I'm going to take responsibility, I need to make sure that I'm able to respond in all these situations, that I know what's going on, that I'm educating myself, that I'm doing my due diligence. I started carrying around a binder that had my medical records and the different tests and stuff in it. And I would get my medical records after my different appointments so that if I went to see another specialist that had a different area of expertise and they needed that information, I had it with me. That it wasn't something that they had to, you know, try to figure out to get faxed over or whatever. No, I had it right there and I was able to show them. No matter if it has to do with a medical situation or it has to do with your business or it has to do with something in your family or something you're going through with your child, in order to really speak up with confidence, you have to first take responsibility for that situation. And it doesn't mean that you have to carry a big binder around with all your stuff in it, but it makes you better able to speak up and to advocate for yourself whenever you have taken responsibility, you've taken ownership of the situation, and you've done your due diligence to have the information to back up what you're saying. As Claire's due date was nearing, we met with the neonatologist that would be taking care of her. And this was a really important person in her care because she had to be cared for very, very quickly. Right after birth, she had to be given certain medications so that she would be able to stay alive in order to have the surgeries. There were these life-saving medications that needed to be administered to her very quickly after birth. When we met with this neonatologist, his reputation kind of preceded him. He was known for being kind of a curmudgeon, not having the best bedside manner, not being the nicest of people, but being excellent at what he did. And so in this meeting with him, you know, we're talking about all the different procedures and how everything's going to go. And I have found out through my own research and through talking to other people that had had heart babies, as they're called, whenever your child has a congenital heart defect, a lot of times they're called heart babies. And yes, my heart baby was born on Valentine's Day. So there's something poetic about that. When heart babies with a condition like Claire's or something similar are born, typically they have to get that medication pretty quickly after birth. And then they are taken to the NICU where they are cared for until they can, you know, become strong enough and can get the first surgery. And during that time and after the recovery of the first surgery, you know, that can be a month's long period. And so during that time, you are completely unable to hold them or anything like that. I mean, you can see them and, you know, and touch them sometimes, but you can't actually hold them. And I learned from some of the other heart parents that it's kind of protocol for them to take the baby immediately and not let the parent hold them even for a second. And there are different reasons for this. It can be because it's just difficult sometimes to get the baby back from the mom. But I learned that there actually is a small window of time. You actually can hold the baby really quickly if you ask, and that whenever you ask, your request may or may not be met, and you know, but you can ask. And so in this meeting with the neonatologist, whenever we're going through the whole protocol of everything, my husband and I are sitting there and I say, I would like to hold her after she's born for just a second, you know, just a moment, you know? And he was like, absolutely not. No, it's not going to happen. And I had gotten really used to being very vulnerable and very outspoken at this point. Like I said, it was quite the roller coaster. I went from being someone that, you know, almost never cried, never showed emotion in public or to anyone, to being someone that was very comfortable with showing emotion, crying, whatever, at any time. And so at this point, you know, I didn't break down, but I definitely felt like these quiet tears like streaming down my face. And I just told him very honestly, like, sir, the only thing that would be worse than losing my daughter would be to lose her and to have never have held her in my arms. And at that point, he got up, he kind of mumbled something and left. And it was a very awkward moment. And I think that's one of the reasons that we tend to not make requests for things that we want or things that we need, because it does require vulnerability. It requires us to open up, to risk the rejection, to risk ridicule, to definitely risk hearing no, or in this case, just nothing at all, like just like straight up just leaving the room. And so because of that, a lot of times we just keep our requests, keep what we want inside, keep what we need inside. Sometimes we're even afraid to pray for the things that we want and need. Now, thankfully, according to Romans 8:26, the Spirit actually intercedes for us. It says the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So, you know, thankfully, our Father knows what we need before we even ask for it. But still, I think sometimes we're afraid to even ask for it. Sometimes we're afraid that we're even going to get a no from God. Maybe we've prayed for things in the past that didn't turn out the way that we thought that they should. And so for that reason, we're afraid to even ask for anything, or we feel like, what's the point of even asking or making these requests or praying to God for the things that we need and want? Sometimes we don't ask because we don't want to be disappointed. I think of James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 that says, "You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives." So our motives matter. How we ask matters. But a lot of times we just don't ask at all, whether it's of God or anyone else. So fast forward to February 14th, 2015, Valentine's Day, and Claire Riley is about to make her entrance into the world. It's an exciting day. When we decided to name her Claire, I had no idea that what she would give to me is so much clarity, and that because of her, I would do this work in coaching and be able to give so many other people clarity as well. I was not prepared for the fact that whenever I actually delivered her, that there was going to be literally a room full of people right there. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. I don't know why. I guess I must have missed that in one of the meetings. But there were teams there. There were different teams there of people. It was a whole thing. They were all there ready to take care of her. And it was very, very exciting. And as soon as she came out, the doctor handed her to the neonatologist. He was there, the same one, the same curmudgeonly guy. And he took her and then he gave her to me. And I got to hold her for a very short time, literally just long enough to snap a picture. And then the neonatologist took her and took great care of her. Now, that neonatologist actually, for his curmudgeonly nature and not so great bedside manner, he actually ended up being a huge blessing in my life. For a moment that I believe only God could possibly orchestrate, and that blows my mind every time I think about it. But that is yet another story for another day. On this day 8 years ago, I got to hold my baby. And today, I want to encourage you to ask for what you want, to make your requests known. Whatever you've been holding back, make that request. Whether it's something to do with your business, whether it's something that you need from your partner or your spouse, or something you need to talk to God about, any of those things, I want you to be willing to be vulnerable and to ask for what you want and need. Be willing to risk hearing no. Be willing to risk an answer you don't want. Be willing to risk looking stupid. Be willing to risk getting rejected. And lastly, seize the opportunities that you have. They are fleeting and you might not get a second chance. For me, this was the only time I was ever able to hold my daughter alive, and I could have missed it by not speaking up. My friend, God has created you for a purpose. He has a plan, a good plan, for your life. If you feel like you've been sitting on the sidelines and like life has been passing you by, I want to encourage you to start taking action. And if you could use a little help, that is exactly what I'm here for. And I want to invite you to grab an Unstuck session with me so we can get you moving, get you making progress, get you taking action on your goals and dreams. Just go to fruitionmindset.com/unstuck. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you so much for supporting me. I can't believe this is already the 50th episode. I'm just overjoyed, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I hope you have a purposeful and productive rest of your week, and we'll talk soon. Hey, thank you so much for listening and for hanging out with me today. If this podcast has blessed you in some way, I would love for you to share it with a friend and leave a review on iTunes. When you leave a review, it helps the podcast grow and reach more people. Thanks again, and we'll talk soon.